Welcome to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga, a teaching ministry where believers are trained to be established in the truth of God's Word. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.thepastormax.ng.
Let's pray. Father, thank you because I'm anointed to teach. Thank you because your people are anointed to receive. And together our faith is built up in the knowledge of the person of Jesus. I pray that light and understanding, signs, wonders, and miracles will take place at the teaching of your word in Jesus' mighty name. Say a good amen.
Amen.
All right. So this month we've been dealing with leadership, and we've had all those, you know, wonderful sessions that we talked about, effective communication and all of that. And I want to look at a biblical theology of leadership. A biblical theology of leadership. Now, it's important for us to understand that when we say the word theology, it's not a big word, okay? Theo is the Greek word for God. You know, logy means study, just as bios is life. So biology, you know, study of life and all of that. So theology just means the study of God. I saw someone, you know, saw the title of what we're going to deal with this morning, and it was like, is it a Bible school? I said, no, it's a church service. And, you know, Brother Hagin used to say something, that if churches will do what they ought to do, there will be no need for Bible schools. Praise the name of the Lord. So it's important that we look at leadership from a biblical viewpoint. How does the Bible see leadership? And what we're just going to do this morning is to look at a particular chapter of scripture and go on it verse by verse and pick some things. Now, John C. Maxwell defined leadership as influence. Right? Everybody say influence. You need to talk. Everybody say influence. All right. So John C. Maxwell defined leadership as influence. Now, he's correct. Because everybody is influenced by someone, and everybody is influencing someone. So what that tells me is that everybody is a leader. Everybody is a leader. You see, as the husband in the house, you are a leader. As the mother, the wife, you're a leader. You know, sometimes people grow up in homes where the house is like a parliament, right? House of Representatives versus House of Senate. So the father is House of Senate, the mother is House of Rep. And the children are, I don't know what they are, but sometimes you see the father wants to do something, the mother doesn't want, and then tactics will go on. All of that is influence. That's leadership. You are leading your friend. Some of you encouraged your friends to be in church today. That's leadership. Some people are not in church today because someone influenced them negatively. That's what? That's leadership. So every time we talk about leadership, don't just look at someone. You are a leader. And so everything we're going to teach this morning applies to you. Not just someone in position. You are a leader. Because you have influence over someone. You're going to have influence over someone. You know, I was teaching in Bielsa yesterday. I had a church workers training, taught in one of the pastors' conferences there. And I was teaching there. And I was telling them, for instance, as a pastor of the church, I can come this morning and say, I want all church workers to come by 7:30. Right? I can say, I want all church workers to come by 7:30. And what's going to happen? Maybe right there, you just turn to that person and say, 7:30, it's not too early, Seth. See, the truth of the matter is that regardless of the announcement I have made, you have influenced that person's posture towards the announcement I've made. How many of you understand what I'm saying? That's influence. So leadership is influence. And if leadership is influence, it means that we must be intentional about using our influence rightly. As husbands, as wives, as individuals, as friends, we've got to be deliberate about it. Now, there is a definition of leadership I love that I want us to use. Put it up for me. It defines leadership as the ability, and I want to take this down. It defines leadership as the ability to motivate and influence others by displaying godly character. And I like this. The ability to motivate and influence others by displaying godly character. While adopting the posture of a servant, a teacher, and an equipper. And why I like this definition is because it's all around. The ability to motivate and influence others by displaying godly character. While adopting the posture of a servant, a teacher, and an equipper. The first posture you must adopt as a leader is that of a servant. First, before teaching, before you equip. And these are three different things. Servanthood, teaching, and equipping. The posture of a servant. You reproduce who you are and not what you teach or what you say. In life, you are going to reproduce who you are. It's, you know, sometimes I tell people, people always say, well, not a good statement, but people say, some people say marriage is difficult. Marriage is not easy, right? And I always tell people, there's nothing wrong with marriage. Marriage is like an empty container, right? It's the two people inside that determines how that container would be. Are you with me? Say amen if you're with me. Amen. Do you understand that? If you are bad and you bring your bad self inside the marriage, you'd have a bad marriage. If you're good and you bring your good self inside the marriage, you'd have a good marriage. That's not, it's like money. If I give 100,000 to someone who smokes, what do you think they're going to do to the 100,000? Talk to me. What do you think? You don't know. To someone who smokes, what do you think they're going to do? Pay their tithes? No, they're going to buy smoke, something to smoke, right? If you give 100,000 to somebody who gambles, what do you think he's going to do? Talk to me. What do you think he's going to do? Gamble. I hope none of you do Naira bet. I have a covenant with God. Anybody who listens to me and play Naira bet never wins. Everybody say amen. Amen. Everybody say loud amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right. So I say, why did I come to church today? Because you'll not win again for the rest of your life. Okay. Now, if you give 100,000 to somebody who cooks, you know, a chef that has a restaurant, what are they going to do with the 100,000? They're going to buy food. Right? Now, is there anything wrong with the 100,000? No. It's who you gave it to that determine what the 100,000 those what become or it will achieve. It's the same thing about anything in life. Don't always look at things like this thing is bad. No, it's not bad. Who are you? Who are you? What are you bringing in? Oh, churches are bad. Churches are not bad. The church of God is not bad. Who is leading the church? Are you following what I'm saying? So most times we look at things, we look at institutions, we look at organizations instead of looking at who we are. The first person you are responsible for, I think someone mentioned it when we were taking at the reviews, about leading yourself. The first person to lead is yourself. As a pastor of this church, you're not the first person I should be looking to lead. The Bible says, pay attention to yourself and to the doctrine. It didn't even say pay attention to the doctrine first. It says to yourself. Which means, and we'll see this, which means that the first person to influence in life is yourself. The first person to walk on in life is yourself. Not the other person. Not who you think should change. Praise God. Are you still here? Come on, are you still here? You know, when I traveled, something happened. We were somewhere, I think one of the states, I can't remember where we were, but I saw this lady. She got something. We were on the street or something. We're not together. She was just on her own. But she got something to eat, you know, maybe like a candy bar or something. Then she ate it. Then I just watched her. She wrapped the candy bar. You know, she looked around. There was nowhere to throw there. There was no refuse dump. She just wrapped it and put it in her pocket. That tells you why the streets are clean. Are you following what I'm saying? There was no police. There was no camera, right? There was no any official to say, don't drop it. But how many of you know what we're going to do in this part of the world? We won't even look if there is refuse dump. That one is too much. Straight from your mouth, where is it going to? Talk to me. Where is it going to? On the floor. And what are we going to say tomorrow? I don't know why this street is so dirty. Government, they should come and clean it. All the rappers on the street, is it government that used it? You see, let me tell you something about your life. Make up your mind that even if the whole world goes mad, you'll be sane. Make up your mind about that. There are values you must cultivate as a child of God. This is who I am. I don't care. Oh, this is what everybody's doing. No. You are not everybody. Tell your neighbor, you're not everybody. I didn't hear that. Say, you're not everybody. And that's important. Praise God. If serving is beneath you, then leadership is above you. I want you to write that down. If serving is beneath you, or is below you, right? Then leadership is above you. If serving is below you or beneath you, below, you can use below, beneath is King James English. Then leadership is above you. The goal is not to be seen. The goal is not to be powerful. The goal is not to have the biggest platform. If service is below you, then leadership is above you. The goal is not to be seen. The goal is not to have the biggest platform. Or the goal is not to be powerful. That's not your goal. Remember, what are we talking about? The biblical theology of leadership. What does the Bible teach us about leadership? Thank you, Lord. Are you still here? And everybody seated here is a leader. You are a leader. You're leading someone. If you're not leading right now, you will lead. You see, how do friends become bad? Someone led them. How do people learn to smoke? Somebody teach them. Say, just try it. They say, I should not say, just try it. It's not it, you know. Can you just smoke? Then you take the first drag. Then you cough. Ah, God, say, na so, they be. Just relax. You be man. Before you know, you're smoking one packet. Every sin starts from one little, right? That's what we're praying this morning. Just only. See, let me tell you. You see, be very careful of who influences you in life. And how do you check your influence? Check your association. Your association will influence you in ways you do not even know. I'll give you an example. I can come into, when we started our first church, I used to belong to an association. Don't want to mention the name. And every time we go for meetings, these older pastors would always complain. People in this place don't like coming to church. To pastor in this place is difficult. You know, they'll say all those things. Then one day I was talking to Pastor Mary and I began to complain. Then she made a statement. She said, you usually do not complain about these things before. Then I said, yeah, that's true. I tried to find out why I was complaining. I realized that after going to those meetings several times, what happened? I have taken on their perception. You know, that's why I told people early days of these elections, I said, while we would have a preferred candidate to win the elections and everything, and we feel if that candidate wins, things are going to be better, I told them, and I warned them in church, that even if that candidate does not win, don't sentence your life to poverty by your own words. Because there are people who have made up their mind that as far as this person is in authority and is not this person, nothing good will happen. And true to your word, you will not experience anything good for the next 4 years. God cannot do anything against that. As you have spoken to my ears, so shall I do unto you. Are you following what I'm saying? Come on, are you here? Are you following what I'm saying? You make up your mind, regardless of who is on the seat, regardless of what is going on. The lines are falling onto me in pleasant places, and I have a goodly heritage. It's your choice. But are you not seeing this? Yes. Everything that is seen can be changed. Are you following this? Praise God. You know, let me tell you this. Don't ever forget it. Your life, the way it is right now, is your own making. Is your responsibility. You can't blame anyone. Why? Because you have the word of God. You have the spirit of God in you to cause changes. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, come with me to Matthew chapter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 23. Let's look at leadership. Let me stay on leadership. Matthew 23. And we're going to read a few verses here about leadership. We're going to read from verse 1 to 12. And then we're going to take it one after the other. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, the disciples and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you to do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds. For they say things and do not do them. Verse 4, they tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogue, and respectfully greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by men. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Verse 10, do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that's Christ. 11, but the greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Now we're going to look at this, because Jesus was looking at a particular set of leadership, the religious leadership, okay? We're going to skip three verses when he talked about do not call anyone father and all that. I mean, that's a whole different teaching on its own, but we're going to just stay with the leadership verses. So let's take it, verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and said to his disciples, verse 2, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the seat of Moses. When he talked about seated themselves in the seat of Moses, he was talking about them using the law, the position of authority that was conferred on them by the law. Now, this is the first level of leadership. According to John Maxwell, there are five levels of leadership, but this is the first. It's positional leadership. It's positional leadership. This is when you come into leadership by virtue of your position. I'm the pastor of this church. That's a position. The pastor's wife, that's a position. I'm the head of this home. That's a position. I'm the mother. That's a position. I'm the supervisor. That's a position. I'm the head of the media department or the head of the ushers. That's a position. The truth of the matter is that many people never advance beyond this. Positional leadership, this is the lowest level of leadership. It's the entry level. The only influence a positional leader has is that which comes with the job title. Okay? So you are the man of the house. That's just it. You're the pastor of the church. That's just it. That position that's given to you, that's just it. One question you must ask yourself is that if you were taken out of that position, would people still follow you? Are you following what I'm saying? Let's say now you meet me outside. They just said, oh, Pastor Max has been removed as the pastor of the church. Then you just see me outside. Will you still respect me? Ask yourself, if the position I'm occupying now was taken away from me, if they tell your children that, oh, we made a mistake, He is not your father. We just respect you. Or the respect you get is just because you are a father. Or the respect you get is because you are a supervisor. Or they just say, you are no longer the supervisor. Well, I don't want to mention names, but I remember when one particular president in this country died, there was joy in the streets. How many of you remember? People were happy that the man died. Are you that kind of person? Is that the kind of leader that you are? Just the position. It's the lowest level where you lead people just because of the position that was given to you. People are not willing to follow you for who you are. Once they strip you of that title, you're gone. That's why you realize that most of our past presidents, people don't honor them. But in some other nations, you see how they respect their past presidents. But here is the minute, and that's why most people don't like to leave positions, because everything about their life is tied to that position. They rather die than leave that position. In life, I want you to live in such a way that if any position is taken away from you and you are standing alone, your influence will still be strong. You know, we'll get there. Do we like titles in this part of the world? Because all of those is to make up for what we don't have on the inside. Praise God. Now look at this. Positional leadership is based on the rights granted by the position and the title. Nothing is wrong with having a leadership position. Everything is wrong with using position to get people to follow you. Okay? As a pastor of this church, I want you to honor me. There's the position of the pastor. But if that position was taken out, I should be able to build a life that people would still honor me, even if I was not a pastor. The position you're occupying today. I'm the firstborn of this house. I'm the firstborn. I'm the first male child that opened the womb. If you were not the one that opened the womb, would people still respect you? There are things we hold on to because all our life is based on what? On that. Position. They sit on Moses' seat. Realize that the Pharisees, if it was not for that seat, nobody would obey them. Position is a poor substitute for influence. Write that down. Position is a poor substitute for influence. Position is a poor substitute for influence. As a mother, would people respect you if you were not the mother? I want everyone in this church to rise up to the best of the possibilities that God has put on the inside of you. Praise God. You know, when I was coming, I was thinking, I said, God, help me. I want us to build a church of people with character, skills, and competence. That a day will come when people are looking for people to fill certain positions, they will reach out to us. Not just people who come to church on a Sunday morning and zero character, zero capacity. Look at this. They rely on rules, regulations, policies, and organizational charts to control their people. Their people would only follow them within the stated boundaries of the authority. People will only respect them within the office. Immediately they leave the office and you call them, excuse me. They who, my friend? They are gone. Because your influence is based on what? The position that the organization has given to you. Listen to me. All of us start at this level, but we must grow above this. You can start out as, I'm the man of this house. I'm the husband in this house. But you can influence your wife to the point where if that position is taken away from you, what will happen? The woman will still follow you. Look at the Proverbs 31 woman. The scripture says, the heart of her husband safely trusts in her. That's something different. That's a level of wife material. That's another level entirely. Don't live life in such a way that if a position is taken away from you, praise God, if a position is taken away from you, you will not be able to function any longer. Are you still here? Come on, I said, are you still here? All right. You are the firstborn of the family. It's not just to break cola nut. Say, at this meeting date, I did not agree. I have not agreed as the man of the house. No, 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 no. When positional leaders ask for extra effort or time, they rarely get it. Positional leaders usually have difficulty working with volunteers or younger people and highly educated people. Why? Because positional leaders have no influence, and this type of people tend to be more independent. Position is the only level that does not require ability and effort to achieve. Because sometimes people are trusted in position. For instance, I'm the firstborn in the house, in my own biological family. There was no ability to eat. It's just that I came first. Right? There's zero ability. So I can be a firstborn without leadership ability. Right? It's like when they used to be kings. And they say, oh, the father has died. This guy is the next. He might not be ready for it. Or some leaders that we have in the country that are put in position because they have to act as steward for someone else. They might not be ready for it. So some of us are where we are right now because by virtue of, right? We just got in. Anyone can be appointed to a position. This means that position is a fine starting point, but every leader must aspire to grow beyond level one. I want you to write this word down. Big and clear. Growth. Write growth down. I want you to write the word growth. Write growth. Sure. Yeah, okay. I want you to write the word growth down. Growth. Make it your goal this year that you would grow. Make it your goal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know this year you want to make more money. Praise God. I know this year you want to hammer, you want to blow, you want to explode. Don't use those words to describe your life. Use those words to describe your life. There are better words. Go and buy a dictionary. That's the first thing you should do. So you won't use useless words to describe your good life. You want to blow. What does that mean? What does that mean? You are a king. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Church of the living God, are you here?
Yes,
you are a king. Stop talking like someone who is not royalty. Don't pick language from the streets. You know, in those days, they were street languages. Today, those street languages are online. Don't pick those languages. God bless my hustle. What does that mean? You see, your words control your life. Speak like a leader all the time. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Speak like a leader all the time. Don't speak like a victim. Glory to God. Are you still here? Go to verse 3. So the first thing is growth. From level 1, our goal is growth. You want to grow. And if we want to grow, we must have what we call a personal growth plan. Or a personal development plan. Do you have a plan for development? That means that people do not grow by chance. Praise God. When I was away, they sent me a form. And my daughter, she's going to GS1 next September, next school session. You know, when they sent me the form that she was going to write exams, I was just wondering, because 10 years ago when we came to the island, Bonny Island, to start the church, was just a baby. But what did we do? We didn't gather around every morning and say, grow, 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 you will grow. No, we didn't. It wasn't conversion. What did we do? We kept feeding her, right? Morning, afternoon, evening. And those of you who are parents, you understand, sometimes the baby doesn't want to eat. But what will you do? What will you do if your baby doesn't want to eat? I can't hear you. What will you do?
Force.
Thank God now there are many laws. You know how they used to force some of us in those days when we were growing up? When your mother sits down and puts her wrapper like this, you know that your life is finished. They will hold your nose. Your father will hold your leg. They will open your mouth. I mean, those pictures these days will look. I mean, if this generation went through that, they will sue you for trauma. I say the trauma of child abuse. I've not recovered. But you see, even though that child doesn't want to eat, it's necessary. See, there are times you don't want to read. It's necessary. There are times you don't want to pray. It's necessary. There are times you don't want to fast. It's necessary. There are times you don't want to give. It's necessary. There are times you don't want to do the right things. It is necessary. If you go by your feelings, you will never get to the fullness of your capacity. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you go by your feelings, you will never get to the fullness of your capacity. That which is on the inside of you will never come out. Oh, I don't feel like praying today. Oh, I don't feel like going to church. Oh, I don't feel like... No! Champions have routines. Praise God. I said praise God. How many of you follow football, right? How many of you know some past footballers who used to play football and now they've stopped playing? Then 10 years later or 5 years later, they have a testimonial match and you see them with their big tummy and they are fat. And you're wondering, is this his footballer? You know what happened? You know what happened? It's simple. They plugged out of daily routine. That's just it. You see, let me tell you something about this life. There is no position you are now that is permanent. A rich man can become poor. A poor man can become rich. A foolish man can become wise. A wise man can become foolish. There is no permanent wisdom. If you don't have a system that keeps you, if there is no routine that keeps you, if there's no daily plan that makes you read, you won't feel like reading. Praise God. Are you still here? Come on, I said, are you still here? So that footballer, they will say 5 to 5:30, you will do gym. 6 to something, you will do this. Before a particular match, you cannot eat this. What will happen? He will do that for 10, 15 years. His body is in shape. Then, he stops playing. It's 5:30. Say, ha, thank God I'm free. He sleeps. He sees cookies. He eats. He sees candy. He eats. Your body does not know that you have stopped playing. Life does not know that you have stopped. Whatever you do is what your life will reproduce. So if you can see your life, it shows the seed you're sowing. You see, seed time and harvest is not only for is not only for money. If you think negative thoughts long enough, it will come to pass. Are you still here? Wow, praise God. Are you still here? So you must have what? A routine. We are entering the second quarter of this year. What's your routine? What books will you read? When will you pray? When will you confess the word? That promise that God gave to you, do you have a routine to confess it? There are confessions I have that I do daily. Daily. Consistently. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Consistently. Whether I feel like it or not, whether it looks like it's coming to pass or not. Some of you saw my, when I put up, okay, I don't know, if you follow me on Facebook, when I was in Creflo Dollars Church, and I was saying something that I told my friend, it was 95, 96. He brought his elder brother used to receive Kenny Hagin magazine and Creflo Dollars World Changers magazine, right? 96. They just moved to the World Changers dome then. So I looked at him, I said, I'm going to be in this place one day. And the guy laughed. You know, it was the laugh of my friend Gerald. Right? So when I went, interestingly, I was preaching in a church and they just told me, oh, the church is close by. So I went there. So I posted the pictures. So I sent it to him. So when I sent it to him, I now laughed. And then he said something. He said, you said it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are things I have said 20 years ago that I'm living in now. What that would tell me is that my next 20 years will be determined by what I'm saying now. As you have spoken to my ears, so shall I do. Praise God. Are you learning something this morning? All right, go to verse 3. Verse 3 says, therefore, all that they tell you to do, all that they tell you, sorry, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. What's the second thing you must work on? Biblical leadership is what you call character, integrity. One key trait required for biblical leadership at all levels is transparency and what I call internal character, integrity. Integrity, character. Romans 2 verse 21, Paul says, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself?" Put up that for me, Peter. Romans 2:21. You teach others, do you not teach yourself? Why you are in a hurry to lead others, don't you lead yourself? Praise God. You know, sometimes I tell people, it will be good in life to listen to your own counsel. You know, most times we are quick to counsel people. We are quick to tell people, this thing you are doing. Sometimes it's good to sit down and listen to your own counsel. Look at what Paul says. Therefore, you who teach another, do you not teach yourself? What is Paul trying to say? See, you have to teach yourself. Right? You have to teach yourself. Many people know what to do to have a good life. They are too lazy to do it. Some of you have bought books and bought books. You are like a librarian. But you don't read. You only read when you want to sleep. So you read one line 6 times. Read it, read it, read it, read it. It's not those who read, it's by the mercy of God. If mercy places you in a good position, what will you do? You know, many people are not ready for the future they are praying about. That's the truth. Some people feel if they have more money, their lives will be better. It's a lie. Some of you will commit worse sins because the sin you are committing right now is within the limits of poverty. You don't have enough money to pay. Have you not seen why people will just go to a club and go and buy drinks worth 200,000? Then they will tell you that they are enjoying life. You are amazed. You'll be amazed at how people think. That you would take 200,000 to buy something that will make you lose control of yourself. After spending 500,000 in the club, a small child will now lead you and show you how to open the door. Do you understand how much wisdom you have lost? That you cannot open the door to your car anymore. And then that person puts that on a repeat mode. He does it every night. He does it every night. Millions gone away. Look at how rich our nation is. Look at how poor we are. Shows you that life is not about resources. If you can't manage the little that you have right now, there is no guarantee that you can manage much. If you don't know how to budget the little you have right now, there's no guarantee that you will be able to budget the millions that will come to you. Teach yourself. He says, you who teach others, will you not teach yourself? We are entering another quarter in this year. Teach yourself. You know, I told myself, I'm no longer reading under pressure. I'm no longer reading for pleasure. I'm now reading for purpose. When I pick a book to read, one of the things I'm doing for every book I pick, what am I implementing from this book? It's not just to say, I've read that book. I've read this book. I've read that book. No, it's not a competition. You read 10 books. How is it reflecting in your life? Bible says, it's the doer of the word that is blessed. Look at this. Therefore, you who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You know, it's easy to teach other people. It's easy to counsel other people. If I tell you now, it's time to receive offerings. Pick your neighbor's wallet and give from it. How many of you know you will give a lot more? Talk to me. Right? If we all had cash. I say, okay, everybody, exchange. take somebody else's ATM or PIN code and transfer and give. That's when you want to give generously. Because it's not your money. It's the same thing with advice. We like to give free advice a lot. But most of us don't advise ourselves. We don't teach ourselves. You know, and I see it today. Sometimes. Every young person wants to teach. They want to be an apostle. They want to be a prophet. Everybody's teaching. Everybody's trying to teach the Bible. They go to Facebook, you see confused people. You are trying to teach. What you know have not helped you. You have not made progress in your own life, yet you want to teach. Are you here? Come on, are you learning something? Say amen if you are. He says, you who preach that one shall not steal, do you steal? Question. Internal character. You know what he's trying to say? It's simply saying that a man can teach what he's not doing. And that's not leadership. That's what we're looking at. Biblical leadership. Biblical leadership, you know, people sometimes ask me, and I think I said it many times, how do you manage your family life and ministry life? How do you combine both? And I told them it's not two lives. What you see in the pulpit is what you see at home. I don't have a pulpit life, right? And then I have a family life. It's one life. There's no, this is my pulpit life. This is my family. No, it's one thing. It's one character on the pulpit, at home. One seamless life. You don't need to have double lives. In church, you are a saint. At home, you are a whatever. Huh? On Sunday, oh, Father, we thank you. Oh, God. Monday, your boss doesn't want to have anything to do with you. You're the one that leads the Gossip Workers Association. You are the president. You are always seeing something wrong. Everything anybody does, there's something wrong. Have one life. If you want to lead quality leadership, you must have character, integrity. Integrity can be defined as aligning your conduct with what you know to be excellent. What are the attributes of integrity? The convictions of a person of integrity determine what they will say and do at any given time. They intentionally direct their conduct according to their understanding of what is right and wrong. Authenticity marks the heart of integrity. Their internal character remains consistent regardless of external conditions. Character. What you say should be what you do. Praise God. I have a value. I have a value in my life. I don't go late for any events. I've gone to preach in places, and the protocol team will tell me that you are different. They'll tell me you're different. You know what? I'll just ask the protocol team, when are you coming to pick me? The pastor, the church, the Bible school I taught in Atlanta, is a Nigerian. He made a statement. He says, which was interesting. Well, not interesting. I've heard it before. But he said, you are a Nigerian that behaves like an American, that I keep to time even more than him. I'll just tell him, when are you coming to pick me? He will say, 7:30. Right? By 7:25, I'm downstairs already waiting. By the time he's driving and he's sending me, I'm here, sir. I'm opening the door. Consistently all the time. There was not a time I ran late. There was no time. It's a value. My son knows. If I tell him, son, we're leaving 7:30. We're leaving the house 7:30. He should be ready. I always tell people, the wristwatch in your hand, use it. It's not a fancy material. It's to give your life direction. It's to make you more productive. And I'm not just talking about church. Every area of your life. Every meeting your boss calls, you are the one coming late. Every time, sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. What is wrong with you? You are panicking. Every time you are panicking. There's hold up. Why don't you factor it in your plan? You know there is hold up. You know you don't have a car. You know it will take you time to get transport. All those things. If you are going to be a leader, you must factor all of those things in your thinking. A leader must be able to look at the whole picture and do what? And walk accordingly. Every area of your life, be consistent. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not telling you about coming early because of church. I'm saying even at work, be known for the man who resumes early. Be known as the woman who comes early. And people say, but is it your father's job? No, it's not about your father's job. It's your character. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's who you are. What destroyed the civil service in our nation is when people failed, is government's work. And they brought their bad self into the government work. And what has happened? They've destroyed the civil service. There is no good thing that cannot be destroyed if you have bad habits. There's no good life that cannot be destroyed if you have bad habits. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Esau, who always loved food. It looked like he just loved food until he sold his birthright. Can you see what he sold his birthright for? Food. There are some people, when they are hungry, it's like they can't do anything anymore. Your God, your belly should not be your God. Praise God. Come on, are you learning something this morning? Say amen. Amen. This is how we become leaders. This is how we become leaders that people will aspire to follow. This is how we become fathers that our children will want to be like us. You know, one day I used to do youth meetings. One day I was in a youth meeting, over 200, maybe close to 200 youths thereabouts. And I said, how many of you would like to be like your father? Only about 5 kids raised up their hands. I was young, but that taught me a lesson. That I would live in such a way that if my son is asked that question, he would raise his hands. How can you become the leader that people would aspire to be like? Character. Character. Acting with integrity gives you peace of mind in knowing you did the right thing regardless of the outcome. Sometimes integrity will not promote you. When Joseph refused to sleep with Potiphar's wife, he didn't gain promotion. He went to prison. See, let me tell you the truth. Doing right things all the time does not mean you will be blessed, in quotes. Sometimes doing right things might lead to what you call demotion on the earth. But you know what? God has a good plan. Hallelujah. Are you here? Come on, I said, are you here? It's not that every time we do the right thing, money will come. Sometimes we'll do the right thing and we'll lose money because we did the right thing. And you know, we can't share those testimonies in church. Praise the Lord. I just stood for God and I lost 1 million naira contract. They say, my friend, get out there. You know, and those are the kind of testimonies we should celebrate in church. Even church members will say, next time, don't try it too. Say, they don't do it like that. Say, come, this is Nigeria. Come, let me talk to you. Yeah. Praise God. See, young people today in relationship, who have no business being in relationship. No character. Why? Because you feel ashamed that you don't have a boyfriend. And people will look at you at your age. It's almost like, you know, when people sometimes talk about their, you know, I used to say it in relationship, when some people talk about their ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, it looks like a degree. Say, I'm talking about my ex. Say, which one? Say, no, the first ex. Say, which of them? Say, no, not that ex. Do you know the other ex? Like, how many ex do you have? Like, 10. How old are you? 15. That means you've spent 10 years of your life. That's confusion. It's not something to, and you know, when they talk about it with joy, like it's an achievement. He says, John, he says, no, it's not the first John, that's second John. It was a third John, yeah. Okay. No. Some of these things is lack of focus, is lack of clarity. And let me tell you, anything you are involved in your life will take your time. It will take time, it will take money. I sent a video to my wife. When I see funny things, I send to her. I sent a video to my wife. They were interviewing this guy, sorry. And the guy was saying, focus on money, focus on money. So the guy was saying, why should you focus on money? What about love? He said, no, a poor man has no business with love. What is love? Focus on money. You see, the truth of the matter is that anything in your life right now is taking your time. You see, people who are not in church now, something is taking their time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It can be football. It can even be sleep. But something is taking their time. So you want to ensure that anything taking your time is worth it. So the first thing in relationship is this worth my time? That's the first thing. It's not that you are lonely. There are married people who are lonely. Okay. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Come on, are you still here? A person is hypocritical when they pretend to be something they are not, believe something they do not believe, or value something they do not value. Their words and actions do not align with their true values. They are playing the part of someone they are not. Integrity is the first step to true greatness. Men love to praise but are slow to practice. Integrity is the first step of true greatness. Can we write that down? Integrity is the first step of true greatness. Then number two, write this down. A time of crisis will test a person's integrity. A time of crisis would test a person's integrity. Every day, I aspire to be a man of integrity. Every day. Every day. When I tell people I want to do something, I keep to it. Hallelujah. See, let me tell you something. Because you're a Christian does not automatically mean you would have integrity. You have to cultivate it. You have to yield to the Spirit. When we're building our church in Money Island, when we're building the church, there was a time we had some problem with our banking stuff. So I went to the builders and I said, oh, could you give us these materials? By next week, we're going to sort out this banking thing and give you, because we brought contractors from outside town, and if there were no materials for them to work, we're losing money because they were there. The man said, I will not try it. So I said, what happened? He pulled out a drawer and showed me not less than 5 checks that were years old, some 2 years, some 3 years, some 4 years, given to him by churches that had not still been paid off as we were speaking. I was embarrassed. Some of you will owe people. When they call you, you will switch off your phone. Are you the devil? What kind of life is that? The scripture says a wicked man borrowed and he paid not. When you want to take the loan, you are very humble. You are very sweet. Your lines go through. There's no network issues. It's time to pay. You are always busy. Then later you now say, how much is it, safe? You lack integrity. See, let me tell you, your words should be your bond. When you say something, somebody should take it to the bank. If you tell somebody, I'm going to do this, take it to the bank. I tell, you know, early days in our marriage, something came up. And my wife was talking to someone. And, you know, kind of a funny situation. So, you know, my wife came back and met me and just told me something. He said, just tell me, did you make this commitment to this person? Because my wife knows that if I tell you I'm going to do something, I'll do it. And my wife told the person that if he told you he was going to do it, he would do it. Sometimes I say, but it's really in my heart. But it's just that I could not meet up. Then go and tell that person, I could not meet up. You see what that does to you? Builds your integrity. I taught this message in our church, right? I don't know if you guys were still there, but I taught it in church, and I told them that day, I said, if you are owing anybody today, after service, this is your action. Go and call them. Tell them, I'm sorry I couldn't pay my debt. I know I'm owing you. I'm committed to paying it. This is how I'll be able to pay. Some people took those actions in church, and 3 of our guys in church, the person told them that for this honesty, don't worry about the money. I don't know why I'm saying that, because this is not part of my message, but if you're owing, go do likewise. They might not forgive you. Don't think, Pastor, it didn't work. I tried it. The person said I should still pay. I didn't tell you it's a formula for forgiveness. I just told you it's your integrity. You see, your name should worth something. A good name is better than riches. When they put your name somewhere, it should worth something. That's what you are building. You're building a name. When they call your name in places you're not, people should not have a double mind about who that person is. You know what the word hypocrite means in the Greek? It's from the Greek word actor. You know what an actor is? Right? You know, if we're acting film now, I can act like a lawyer, but I'm not a lawyer. That's what hypocrisy means. Having a life that is different from who you are. Are you still here? Come on. Are you learning something this morning? Hope you are glad I'm back. Like, this is not what we're thinking about. We're really thinking about leadership. You see, this is the core of leadership. Because positions are open, but there are very few people. I was in Atlanta and we were passing a shop where they sell cars and some very expensive things. So my friend was telling me that he had someone who worked in that shop, and he had a particular time where some leaders from our nation came. One person bought 20 of those cars in his name. 20. See, that's not integrity. If you own that company, how will you spend the money? You print one paper, you tear it. Print another, tear it. For one line you want to do, you have wasted 10 paper because you're not the one buying it. See, don't think that way. I tell people, there is no landlord who have stayed in their house that did not appreciate us as being tenants. You know, some people, when they leave a house, it's like a tornado went through the house. He that is faithful in another man's own, what's God going to do? God will give him his own. That one room you're staying, be faithful. That car they gave you to, you know, there are certain times somebody will drive a car pass. What comes out of your mouth is not his car. It's not the car owner. You know, sometimes when you have your car, you enter a portal, you are Jesus. You are feeling for the car. But the mechanic will talk. Is it in life? Don't treat other people's things like it's other people's thing. If you have developed that habit of doing things, when it's your own, you will not know how to change. Look at ladies who took care of their auntie's children, who took care of all of those, you know. When it's their own child, what happens? They can take care of children. The ones who they say feed the child, they will draw the child there, draw feeding bottle. By the time they give birth to their own child. Because see, you sometimes in life, you cannot practice when the opportunity had already shown up. What you have built up is what you will bring up. Are you still here? Say amen. Are you still here? Amen. All right. Okay. Well, let's go. So, honor your commitments with integrity. If you want to influence others, the most important thing you can do is to be a living example of the principles and the ideals and the faith that you advocate. If you want to influence others, the most important thing you can do is to be a living example of the principles, the ideas, and the faith that you advocate. Let's be a church of integrity. Let's be a church of integrity. Let's build a church that the day will come when people from outside will ask us for people and we can recommend because we trust you. As members of this church, when you say something, mean it. If you give a commitment, keep it. Let's change the narrative that Christians cannot be trusted. Let your name be worth something. If you tell someone, I'm going to come, I'll be with you, be there. And you know what? When you start living like this, you will not make commitments unnecessarily. You know, some people don't think before they make commitments. You start making commitments gradually. Praise the name of the Lord. Number four, quickly. Verse 4 now. Matthew 23. We're just looking at biblical leadership. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. The Pharisees, they will put burdens on people, put laws on people. We must cultivate empathy. What is empathy? The ability to share someone else's feelings or experiences by imagining what it would be like to be in that person's situation. Empathy. Right? I was telling early days when we started our church, we used to stay out of the church parsonage. We had built the parsonage then. And our church members would close and we would be there. We're just waiting for the last person to leave. You know, some people say, oh, pastor, go, don't worry, we'll be fine. But I was just, I wouldn't be comfortable until I knew how these people were going home. If I was not the pastor, how would I act? You know, sometimes we're fixing meetings, and you know, sometimes you say, "Ah, Pastor, you consider these people too." I'm like, "Yeah, empathy. Put yourself there. Put yourself as someone who doesn't have a car. Put yourself, if you were the one who was on the other side, how would you act? As a husband, put yourself in the shoes of your wife. Maybe your wife has done some things around the house. You know, sometimes when women work, you will feel it's not. I remember many years ago, early days when we started, myself and Pastor Mary agreed when she resigned and we came into full time to just be home because of the kids, because I travel quite often. So someone called me and said, what's your wife doing now? What's she doing? I said, sure, she's home. She takes care of the kids. Said, No. So I said, what is the problem? She said, no, she has to have something doing. I said, what do you mean by have something doing? She said, she has to have something doing. I said, okay. You know what the man meant by have something doing? For her to leave the house and go somewhere else. So I said, okay, if she's working now, who will clean the house? I said, then you can get someone. Okay. Who will help take care of the baby? He said, you can get someone. I said, okay. So I you know, sometimes wisdom can masquerade as foolishness. So I said, that person who is going to come clean the house, when that person is leaving his or her own house, what will he tell the people? Right? What will the person tell the person? I'm going to what? Come on now. I'm going to work. Am I right? The person coming to, the nanny coming to clean our house, what will the person say? I'm going to what? To work. The person who is going to take care of the child, what will the person say? I'm going to what? To work. So the one my wife is doing, what is it? It's not work. Do you understand my example? Is it because she's not... okay, so if it's the case of going out and coming in, she can go out and then come back in and do the work. Because what you want now is for her to leave the house, and I'm not advocating anything, I'm just explaining something, is for her to leave the house, go to somewhere else and work, will take the money she's earning from that work to pay other people to come and do the same work, because you just want to have a name that you are not a full-time housewife, as if it's a curse. You see, you must think through your decisions and know what's best for you. Tomorrow, if my children don't turn out right, what will they say? Ah, he's preaching to everybody. Look at his child. Now, stay at home so we can raise the children. No, you must work. You see, the world is confused. Your decisions must be made based on your purpose. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What is good for this brother might not be good for you. Why? Your purpose is different. Are you here? If you're here, say amen. So empathy, right? This is where I got into the story, right? So maybe your wife has finished working like that, right? Then you come back and say, it's pounded yam, you must eat. Have empathy, right? Empathy. Put yourself in the shoes of your wife. And wife, put yourself in the shoes of your husband. Oh, this man is coming. He might be hungry. What will he eat? You think like that. Children, put yourself in the shoes of your parents. Your parents are busy working, doing all. Why can't you just help with the house chores? One day my kids came to me and said, they read, because I make them read The Richest Man of Babylon every year. So, you ready? They said, so we want to do something so we'll be earning money. I said, so what do you want to do? They said, so my son said, to wash plates. I said, are you joking? That one is your covenant right. There's no money for that one. It's extra. That one, you were born to do it. I should pay you. So what, my friend? Are you joking? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I said in a joking way, but you must understand that some things are your fundamental right to perform. You can't earn money from them. So children, you put yourself in the shoes of your parents. Leaders. If we had leaders who had more empathy, we'd have a better nation. Empathy. Think of the other person. You are a supervisor at work. Think of that person who is not earning so much. How would they thrive? How would they live? When all this inflation came up, I told our office staff, well, take Fridays, stay home, work from home to cut down your transport. Right? We made the church office to work, you know, they work remotely, but ensure that you're working 3 days. So we just come to the office Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Monday is off because Sunday is full day. for us. And then Friday they work from home. Empathy. Empathy. Look at what the Bible says. They put burdens on men's shoulders, but they are unwilling to lift it. From your position of authority, you can give a lot of commands, but empathize. Hallelujah. So use your influence. We must use our influence to help build and to develop people, not just to put burdens on people. You know, Jesus used heavy burdens as a metaphor for strict rules. A burden is something that is carried typically on the shoulders. They require extra energy to bear. Rather than leading people with extra burdens, let's empathize. Create a better working condition. Create a better working, make sure the atmosphere of your home is conducive for the potentials in your life to thrive. Hallelujah. Are you learning something today? Our leadership must elevate people and not about creating more burdens. How many of you remember the story of Rehoboam? Right? 2 Chronicles chapter 10 verse 4. Put it up for me. 2 Chronicles 10 4. Rehoboam. Right? You know what happened? They came to him. 2 Chronicles 10 4. They came to him. They said, please. You say, your father made our yoke hard. Now therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you. It tells us something. That if you make people's burden lighter, they will serve you. If you make the burden of your wife lighter, she will serve you. If you make the burden of your husband lighter, he would love you. You see, let's try to make burdens lighter. As a member of this church, make the burdens of pastoral work lighter. The man refused. And, you know, he took advice. The old people told him, if you go to the next verse, quickly, please. He said to them, return to me again in 3 days. So the people departed. You know, when he said, this is what ladies say. When you tell a lady, can you marry me? And the lady say, give me time. This is what they do. Go to verse 6. The king, Rehoboam, consulted. They are not praying anything. They are speaking to their friends. This is what they do. I say, give me time. I will get back to you. This is what they do. Consulted with the elders who had served his father Solomon. I was still like, how do you counsel me to answer these people? Go ahead. He spoke to him saying, if you will be kind to these people and please them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servant forever. This is the key to leadership. Be kind to people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Please them. When you say please them, it's not saying just do things that will make them happy. And do what? Look at this. Good words. Learn to use good words. Praise God. Are you here? Come on, talk to me. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
You go to the office in the morning. Learn to use good words. Hello, how are you? How did Joseph interpret the dream of the prisoners? He asked them, why are you sad? How can you ask somebody in prison why he's sad? Are you normal? Prison, is it where they should be doing praise and worship? See, but he was concerned about his attitude. It means he has observed that man. He says, why are you sad? And gave the dream. And from there, the interpretation came. Some of you are not concerned about people at all. You walk past people. It will seem as if you walk past non-living things. Even if they greet you, you are gone. You will never lead. Greet people with a smile. When you walk in your office, people are human beings. How are you? How are you doing? How's your day? Don't just go. You know, holiness is not how straight your face looks. Don't set your face like a flint as if you're going to the cross. Learn to greet people. Learn to interact. Learn to speak good words. These three things, if you practice it, you would be a leader. If you practice this thing, be kind to people. When you enter these transport services, Uber and the rest, be kind to the drivers. Don't think because you are just paying a driver, then you can just say, slam the door, enter. No, be kind. Be kind. You know, I went to one of the hotels, I was checking in, and the lady was, I mean, she was all grumpy. So I waited. He said, well, do you want? No, so I said, attend to the next person. Finish. So she was like, okay, you're checking in. So I said, relax. I said, how are you today?
I say, fine. I said, you don't look happy. There's nothing to be happy about, sir. I said, you know, so I just encourage her. You know, God has taken care of you. God, you know, I finished talking with her and her face began to brighten up. Obviously, she's had something as Baba's had prayed her or something. But I was concerned about her. I can still go there and say, who is your supervisor? Who is your supervisor? I can still do that. It won't change. They might sack her. They might query her. They might do a lot of things, but I'm not sure that will change her attitude. Now, I'm not saying that's a wrong approach. I'm just saying that I choose a different approach. Kind words. Kind words. Be kind to people. Praise God. Are you here? Be kind to people. Be kind to people. Then what happened? What's the result of this? Thank you, Lord. Wow. What's the result of this? Right? Next verse, please. But he forsook the counsel of the elders which he had given and consulted with the young men who grew up with him and served him. The woke people, Generation Z. Eh? We don't go grief for anybody, generation. Look at them, results. So he said to them, what counsel do you give me? We may answer this way. Who has spoken to me? Saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us. Quickly, Peter. The young men who grew up with him spoke to him, saying, toss you shall say to the people who spoke to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter for us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. yeah. It looks like it's a strong parable, right? Whereas my father loaded you with heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. Look at counsel. Go on. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king had directed, saying, return to me on the third day. You know the story, because I have some more things to say. What happened? The king answered them harshly. Did you see that? Hey, come on. Did you see that? Did you see that? What did the elders say? Say, how should you answer them? Kind words. How did Rehoboam answer them? Harsh words. He forsook the counsel of the elders. Verse 14. He spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, go to verse 15. So the king did not listen to the people, for it was the turn of event for God that the Lord by established war, which he spoke through Ahijah the Shilonite, to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Go to verse 16. When all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people said, what portion do we have? Says, to your tent, to Israel. What his father handed over to him, he scattered through harsh words. You can destroy a good thing through the way you deal with people if you lack empathy. You can destroy a good business relationship through lack of empathy. You can destroy a good marriage through lack of empathy. You can destroy a church through empathy. If you start talking to the members like you were the one that went to their house to bring everybody, they will walk away from you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Come on, church. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes,
all right. Thank you, Lord. Verse 6, quickly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, just while we go to verse 6, our leadership must alleviate people and not create more burdens. Even with the concept of church leadership, we must bring freedom to the people of Christ. Alright? Verse 5, please. Let me just rush through verse 5. It says, but they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garment. So let me go quickly because our time is up. Leadership is not about doing things to be noticed by people. God sees in secret. And it's not about what people say about you. The godly leader does not serve with eye service. You are not serving your boss with eye service. Ephesians 6:6. It says, not in the way of eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. You cannot develop leadership capacity if you are only serious with eye service. Huh? I remember when we were kids, the whole house would be scattered, be watching TV. And then you hear that your father is coming. Then what happened? Eye service. Try to arrange the house. If you're only good when your supervisor is there, you will never be good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you're only humble when somebody is looking at you, if you're only serving when someone is looking at you, you will never be good. Learn to have a private life that is consistent with your public life. Not for what people will see. That's why today, I'm amazed at how we do charity. We want to give something. Cameras will follow us. Even churches. God says if we give in secret, he will reward us openly. Today, we must let Facebook do. Anything we're doing, you must tell the world. There are levels of leadership you cannot go through if you don't know how to be confidential with things. Praise God. Number six, they love the place of honor at banquets and chief seats in the synagogue and respectful greetings in the marketplace and being called rabbi by men. Today's world is governed by prominence and titles. What a lot of people call branding today is name without content. Everybody is a consultant. Everybody has business. Everybody's chief executive, chief visionary officer, chief strategic officer. Big names, zero impute. Chief executive officer does not have transport for 10 years. Strategic implementation manager. The man has not eaten. Big names. Apostle. There are many apostles today. Everybody's an apostle. Apostle of fire, apostle of water, apostle of oil, apostle of prosperity. Titles everywhere. Reverend, doctor, professor. Then JP in front. Titles. No contribution to a journal. No one book that has been used anywhere but is a doctor. DD, PP, CC. Titles everywhere. We love titles. If they remove all those titles and they write your name, what will it be worth? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Come on, I said, are you hearing what I'm saying? I want you to build your name. Build capacity. Build leadership. Love to be called rabbi. Go to verse 11. Let's close here. Verse 11. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Jesus redefines greatness. And let me say this, I say it everywhere. Jesus did not say service is the pathway to greatness. Jesus says service is greatness. You are not serving to become great. In service, you are already great. Look at that word servant is diakonos, a minister. A servant. In John 13 verse 1 to 5, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. In John chapter 13 verse 1, the disciples in the Jewish culture, when you come to the house, because they used to work a lot, you know, the lowest servant in the house will wash the disciples' feet. It was not a key to breakthrough. It was humility Jesus was teaching. All of them sat down. Nobody wanted to do that low job. What happened? Jesus, knowing where he came from and where he was going to, took a towel and washed the disciples' feet. If your identity is strong enough, you will serve. If you know who you are, service will be easy. See, if I take a mop and I'm mopping the floor now, it doesn't mean I'm not the pastor of the church. You cannot say because I have a mop, I've lost my pastoralship anointing. No. You see, service does not reduce us. Learn to serve. Learn it at home. These things are practical. You finish eating, don't dump the plate and wait for somebody to come. Just wash it. Just learn it. You know, many times, you know, I'll go to the kitchen. I'll just be washing the dishes. My kids will come. So I told my wife something. I said, the best way to train my son to love and support his wife is to show the example. It's not to sit and say, my son, you know, the way marriage is, when you bring a woman, you help the woman. No. Once they see you leave it, it will be easy to imbibe it. Anything you want to put somewhere, leave it. In your church, in your team, whatever you want, leave it. The greatest task in leadership is living what we preach. Praise God. Two things Jesus said that was a guarantee. Look at this. Okay, Matthew 20, 28, write that down. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve. Guess what? The fact that he came to serve, today, we are all serving him. If you serve people, they will serve you. If you serve people, they will serve you. See, I'm telling you, let this message change your life. Let it change the way you think. Let it change the way you see your home. Let it change the way you see your members. Praise the name of the Lord. Are you still here? Say amen. Amen. All right. Last verse. Jesus said, verse 12, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. You know what? Don't ever forget this verse in your life. This is a guarantee. Jesus says, if you exalt yourself, you will be humbled. You know who will humble you? The one speaking. But he says, if you humble yourself, what will happen? You'll be exalted. Learn to humble yourself. Some of the self things that are taught in this world, put yourself out there, put yourself out there. See, some of them are not godly. They are not godly. They are not the kingdom. Serve. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's stand on our feet. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Father, we thank you. Let's just bless God in 1 minute for the word he has given to us. Let's say, Father God, let's make a commitment this morning that we're going to be leaders that God will be proud of. We're going to be leaders in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and just thank him. Oh, we give God praise. We honor you. Can I hear you pray? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Oh, we thank you. We'll be leaders. We'll be leaders that you will be proud of, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And anywhere we're not leading right, Father God, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would help us. Help us to serve. Help us to become better in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I get a good amen? Amen.
Thank you for listening to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga. We encourage you to share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.pastormax.ng. We would like to hear from you. Send us an email, info@pastormax.ng, or you can call 0805 888 7575. God bless you.